If you somehow accidentally order size 10 boots when you were trying to order size 9 or size 11, there's no penalty for exchanges on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Amazing Race podcasts like this when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with another Amazing Race exit interview for the All-Stars, and we're down to just three teams left in the Amazing Race as these guys went out fourth place again for the second consecutive season. It's the Afghanimals who are going to be my guest on the podcast. Now, I got word from CBS this morning that it's not going to be both of the Afghanimals, that apparently Leo is traveling today, so it's just going to be Jamal talking with me in this episode, and I'll find out exactly what's going on. Maybe if Leo and Jamal broke up, if they're not talking, we'll get to the bottom of everything that went on Amazing Race All-Stars. On Sunday night, Jessica and I went through everything from the episode and talked about what we're thinking heading into the Amazing Race finale next Sunday night. Of course, you could hear that on robhasawebsite.com. And then today, on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Jessica and I are going to be live with Marie from Amazing Race 23. So I'm sure that she is going to have a lot to say about these final three teams and probably the Afghanimals too here on our Amazing Race live show on Monday night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And so let's go ahead. Let's get into our exit interview and then we'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up this week on Rob Has a Podcast. I see that we have Jamal on the line. Jamal, are you there?
Rob Has a Podcast.
Jamal, hey ho, hey ho.
Hi ho, hey ho, the Afghanimals must go.
No, never, never.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just had a little hangover from last night, just recovering from that and watching the Amazing Race. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, first off, now where is Leo today? Are the rumors true that you guys broke up?
No. Leo's actually just got on a flight to go vacation and take some time off from his busy work schedule. So Leo and I are still good friends, cousins, lovers, whatever you want to call it. Best friends till the end.
All right, good. All right, so hopefully you can help us get to the bottom of a bunch of the things that we need to know about this season of The Amazing Race. First off, let's go back to last night. And the show certainly made it seem like it was going to be very close to get to the pit stop between you and the Brenchels. So how close was that? Do you know how soon after they arrived that you guys got to the mat?
It was about 25 minutes afterwards. We thought we saw Brennan and Rachel at the detour because there were some people from a distance doing the other detour, but it wasn't them. It was just all this stuff going on and chaos. But we knew that we were last when we checked in because we saw all the other three, four focuses. You know, so we knew that, you know, this is it. But we still competed all the way to the end. Just the fact that maybe a team is lost or they don't know where they're going, just like us.
And what happened on the way to the detour? Was it just you guys just got completely lost and there was no way to find a way back?
What happened from the roadblock to the detour was that every local that we asked for where the ball's worth of state was, they ended up giving us a wrong direction, or pointed us to a wrong direction for about 10 minutes. So 10 minutes going the wrong way. Then we'll ask somebody up there. They said, no, go back. That's 20 minutes, you know, that we just lost there. And then they'll tell us to go somewhere else. And then another 5-8 minutes wrong. We'll ask somebody else. So it just kept on having that domino effect. And we kept on going the bad direction for almost like 30 to 40 minutes until we figured out, you know what, this isn't right. And none of the people knew exactly where that estate was. So I think our biggest mistake was not staying behind and waiting for Dave and Connor because they're about 2-3 minutes after the roadblock. And if we, in that kind of situation, the best thing to do is to have a sight of another team when you're competing for the bottom two and don't lose them. You know, because we lost them and we're so confident that we know where we're going and, you know, our directions. We don't want people following us, but at the one time we needed it the most really, it really hurt us.
All right, one of the things that I wish we would have gotten to see more about last night was, so after so many weeks of this accidental alliance and you guys wanted to get Brentschel out, or at least seemingly we're going along with the plan that we got to get Brentschel out, when you guys had the opportunity to U-turn somebody, you guys U-turned the Cowboys instead of Brendan and Rachel. When you got to the pit stop, did Dave and Connor or Jen and Caroline say anything about that?
Absolutely not. I mean, we never promised Dave or Connor or, you know, Caroline and Jen that we're going to U-turn Brendan and Rachel. There's a little bonus clip on CBS that you can go on, and it shows this titled Family Advice. And we're, Dave and Connor and Leo and I are just contemplating who to U-turn. You know, the night before Spain, we had to wait to 8 in the morning. And we're throwing out names, you know, between Brendan and Rachel and Cowboys, and we're throwing out different scenarios, but we never said we're going to U-turn Brendan and Rachel hands down. Is after I hurt my knee, it just made more sense to U-turn the biggest threat and the strongest team that was left in the competition. And we weren't going to hold anybody else's vendettas or avengers to try to get them out for their sake. We were going to do what was best for our sake of winning $1 million. Yeah.
But were Dave and Connor annoyed that you guys decided to use the U-turn on the Cowboys and not Brendan and Rachel?
No, they didn't show any kind of annoyance, or they didn't question us or talk, why did you U-turn the Cowboys? And when you're competing for $1 million, one less team is better for you. And whether it's the Cowboys, whether it's Brendan and Rachel, or whether it's someone else, you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants that $1 million for themselves. So I'm sure they didn't mind having a strong team like the Cowboys go home.
Now, Jamal, how come you guys seem so annoyed that Brendan and Rachel U-turned Dave and Connor? Dave and Connor U-turned you guys, and you guys love Dave and Connor, but Brendan and Rachel U-turned Dave and Connor, and it seemed like you guys and Jen and Caroline got very invested in that Brendan and Rachel were, you know, deserve to have an alliance made against them for U-turning Dave and Connor.
We weren't so much annoyed with Brendan and Rachel U-turning Dave. I think Dave and Connor took that the wrong way, and we're complaining about it. But for us, when someone U-turns you, that's a sense of respect and honor. I mean,
and you guys should know.
We got U-turned twice and we survived, and because Team Solid is the biggest threat and they want you out. So we know not to complain or waste time going back and forth, why'd you U-turn us? So we said, you know what, let's get it done. And at that time, Dave and Connor just so happened to be right next to us, and we worked together and completed that task. We knew we weren't fighting for laps. We knew the Globetrotters were behind us. And, you know, it just made sense to get it done instead of nagging back and forth, why'd you U-turn us? Because that U-turn in Italy didn't make sense for both teams. Why would Brendan and Rachel U-turn Dave and Connor? And then why would Dave and Connor U-turn us? You know, but we weren't going to sit down and try to squash it out right there, because you can't change it. When U-turn is done, it's done. So for us, it was just like, let's move on. You know, let's survive another one, make history, and, you know, carry on.
Now, you guys had a very different strategy, at least to us at home, between Amazing Race 23 and Amazing Race 24, where in Amazing Race 23, it seemed like anytime you could try to trick people or lie if you wanted to, you guys took advantage of that. Where on Amazing Race 24, you guys seemed to play a much more honest game and a much more upfront game with all the other teams. Ironically, both times you end up in the same exact place. So did you find either strategy to be a more effective way to run the race?
If it was up to me personally, this is me speaking.
Yes.
I would put cutthroat, lie, manipulate, do whatever it takes to win and deal with the consequences after. Because, you know, first time around, we were U-turned twice. We survived, whatever. Now, this time around, we're U-turn again for no reason, and we still survived. If we would have been U-turn again, we would have survived. So, to me, whatever you do when you're competing for $1 million, at the end of the day, if you could survive it, more power to you. And we felt like, okay, I felt like, okay, we can survive whatever that's thrown at us. But for us, the first time around, it was 11 new teams that never raced on the race, and no one knew what to expect. So everyone was sort of getting up on whoever they saw was the strongest threat. So they took us out because, oh, they're lying, they're manipulating, they're little stuff that kids will say in high school or middle school. But this time around, when you're the best of the best, you have this mutual sense of respect for everyone. You know, everyone that's competed, they know what it takes to win and lose, and not win the $1 million. So everyone's been there for their second or third time. So everyone knew that, you know what, these are competitors and don't take anyone lightly. But at the same time, we could help someone and it doesn't make a difference to us and our standing or our placement. We'll help them. Just the fact to have that mindset, okay, they helped us, let's not try to U-turn them. But it doesn't even matter. We still got U-turns. So, you know, if I had to race the race again for the third time or do anything, I'd just go all cutthroat. You know, lie, manipulate, do whatever it takes. You know, because chances are we're going to be U-turned again just because we're the biggest threat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the strong male team. So.
And are you saying that if it was up to you, that's how it would be, but Leo is the nice guy and he wants to help everybody, or Leo would feel the same way?
I think Leo has more regards to the consequences for any actions that are taken. So Leo, like, for instance, this season we're in a river in Malaysia and the Cowboys are asking, where is it there? Deep down inside, I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Have them keep going, mess up their whole leg of the race. You know, but then Leo, and we had like a little 2-minute conversation. Leo's like, no, what if they U-turn us and this and this and this and that? But Leo's like, yeah, it's here. If you guys can deliver the food, it's here. And I'm just like, why would you do that? And yet when we needed their help when they were going down the river, they didn't help us. I was like, this is why. And the matter of separated everyone in that leg to winning first, second, or third, you know, that makes a difference. But I knew, we knew that that wasn't a $1 million on the line, but the fact of just putting extra pressure on a team and doing the whole task over, you know, that could take a toll on them down the stretch of the race.
Right. Now, this decision to change the strategy in between seasons, I'm assuming it was a conscious one. Now, did that come from having watched Amazing Race 23, or was that more having to do with how Amazing Race 23 turned out? From it wouldn't have even mattered if you saw any of it on TV.
It wouldn't even matter if we saw anything on TV. When you're racing among idols and iconic figures that you've seen in the past, the Cowboys, the Globetrotters, you know, you have a sense of respect that, you know, I can't lie to them. I'm not going to, you know, even though you're competing for $1 million, we helped a lot of those teams so much, the Cowboys, the Globetrotters, you know, because we really respected their game. And as long as it's not us competing for laps, we didn't even care what happened, you know. So there's a team, two teams behind us, and we're going to help each other. Like when we're in Italy, we just gave the answer, you know, not knowing that we're competing for last. We thought Caroline and Jen were behind us, but yeah, at least we didn't get out.
Now, how about your knee? First off, how is it doing today?
Oh, I got physical therapy again today. I've still been going. It happened on December 2nd, and it's about over 5 months now. And I'm still going to physical therapy. It was a meniscus tear, and they had a lot of swelling. I had to wear a brace. I went to physical therapy like 3 times a week, and I went 2 times. And, you know, I can't squat all the way down or bend my knee backwards. So I got the scene that was on the TV show didn't show the exact scene of when I got tackled in 2 different directions, and my knee went sideways. And then it just started going numb. You know, I couldn't feel it. The next leg, when we had to do the soccer skills, that took a lot of pain, because anytime I would pivot or try to shoot the ball, my whole leg just had like a shock, a jolt, you know, from toe to my upper thigh from that pain. It was really, really tough.
And how much did it slow you down as far as running goes?
Well, that leg, after I got tackled, we literally walked the whole race because it couldn't put any pressure on there. So that's how Brendan and Rachel ended up getting second, you know, and I couldn't put any pressure. Next leg, you know, when I had to put pressure on there, I would try to avoid anything as possible. But luckily, it was more of a driving challenge, but it didn't help with the driving because it was in London and the steering wheel was on the opposite side, meaning that you're going to have to, and it was a stick shift, so everything was done with your left leg, not your right leg, like over here. So I had to feel the pain driving all the way, all around London.
So this was a question that a lot of people had after watching the episode last night. Could you explain to us what the rules are as far as who is allowed to do the number of roadblocks? Like, it used to be that each person had to do like 6 and 6. Are there still rules on who's allowed to do the certain number of roadblocks?
Yeah, there's still rules as far as who can do the blocks through what leg. So, for instance, you can't be on the fifth leg and Leo has done all five roadblocks and you haven't done anything. So they try to even it out as much as possible. Or we do see that, okay, one person has done six roadblocks, the other person has done two. They'll put on there, like, you know, Leo must do this roadblock now because they'll know that it won't even out. But I think after five or six, they start looking into it. So that it can even out. But for instance, I think that was my sixth roadblock and Leo had five. So it was fair. Everyone was pretty equal. You know, anyone could have done it and, you know, just so happened to be me.
So basically if they see that one person is doing too many, then production will step in and say that, okay, Leo or Jamal has to do this particular roadblock.
Yeah, something along those lines. It all depends on how far in the race we are and who's done the most amount of roadblocks. So, for instance, and all that comes into play when there's top four teams or top five teams. Because before that, you know, anyone could do the amount of roadblocks as long as it's not over five or six. So, if you're on the 10th leg and you've done nine roadblocks, there's no way. They won't allow you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you guys played back-to-back, and then you have two fourth-place finishes. Does one of the particular fourth-place finishes hurt more? Do you feel like that you felt that one of them you were closer to winning than the other?
I mean, both legs are reminiscent as far as we started out well in the beginning of the race, in the beginning of the leg, and we're in first, we're leading, and then we sort of start fading away. For me, it's a lot harder with this last episode just because knowing that I was driving and I was defensive, you know, things were in my hand. But when you get wrong directions and yet you don't get to the point of where a lot of people take that for granted, you know, the driving, they have directions everywhere. No, you have to find out how to get there. And, you know, we did the clay shooting very quickly. You know, we didn't have trouble. So if we would have just gotten there and not wasted the 40, 50 minutes, we would have been in the final three. So yeah. Just thinking of that, you know, I knew that's harder to take in. But I'm sure for Leo, the fact that it was in his hands last season and the fact that the two buttons, I'm sure he takes that as a harder.
Right. Yeah, you could always just blame Leo on Amazing Race 23. That he could have put that robot together. All right. Well, Jamal, thank you so much for coming on with me. I hope that we get a chance to have a much longer conversation with both you and Leo in the future. And I hope that one day maybe we get to see you guys again on the Amazing Race.
Thanks, Rob. Hopefully. Let's see what happens. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, buddy.
I watch the show all the time. All right, man.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Jamal, one half of the Afghanimals here on Rob Has a Podcast. And I'm sure next season we'll do an Amazing Race live recap with Leo and Jamal and talk about everything with the Amazing Race. Okay, so here's what's coming up here over the next couple of days. May have a little bit of Survivor bonus coverage for you sometime on Tuesday. Of course, we have the Amazing Race show coming up with Marie. Later on tonight, on Wednesday, we'll get into Survivor Know-It-Alls with Steven. Talk about the next to last episode of Survivor Cagayan. And then on Thursday, I'll talk to whoever gets voted out of the tribe. And then we have a big Survivor podcast coming up with John Cochran, scheduled to be here live with me in the studio. And then we're going to take your voicemails with the first lady of podcasting. Nicole is going to be back. So that should be another big show on Thursday. If you missed it last week on our Survivor podcast, we spoke with two of the faces of Survivor around Mount Rushmore, in my opinion, and that would be Richard Hatch and Parvati. That was a very, very fun podcast. And then on Friday, Brian Lynch and I recapped everything that happened on the Big Brother Canada finale and had a good conversation of who was better, John or Netta. So if you want to hear that conversation, that's also available on robhasawebsite.com. So everybody have a great Monday. I'll be back with Jessica Leese tonight and talking with Marie about the Amazing Race and previewing the finale on Sunday. So have a great day and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.